It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning. Welcome to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy. It's our usual Friday time together. I look forward to speaking to all of you at 800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. I'd like to say good morning to Carrie on the board. It's Friday. I don't do the show as much as I used to do, so I don't get to speak to her as much, and she's pretty cool, man. She rocks, man. Every morning, whenever I come in here and put on the Skype, because that's how we communicate between the between us during the show, I tell her she rocks. It's like a little game we got going on. She tries to tell me I rock. I try to tell her she rocks, but she really rocks. So I win because I have the microphone. Ha! Anyway, we got a great show for you today. We are going to be talking about all kinds of stuff. I heard the last show at the end, they were talking about a Freeform Friday, and I sort of want to do the same sort of thing. Because there's so many things, now that I'm only doing it once a week, that I really want to talk about. And again, it all comes down to eugenics, eugenics, eugenics. We're talking about making less people on the earth. That is what everything that is going on right now is all geared towards. Is eugenics. 80 to 90%, they say, of less people. And do you think you're in the, that 10 or 20%? I don't think so. I really don't. I can't say for sure, but I don't think they're going to be real discriminate. They're just going to start the killing and the soft kills until they get the population down to the way they want it. And today we're going to be talking again about eugenics and why all these different things that are going on in the country are based on eugenics. We're going to be talking about the Bilderberg Group meeting that's going to be coming up in June. We're going to be talking about the war and that Reuters clip with the, them shooting the Reuters, reporters that were unarmed. We're going to be talking about the value-added tax and the fact that Bernanke and Volcker this week said that it very well may be necessary. Nancy Pelosi said a VAT is on the table, a value-added tax. We're going to be talking about the push for a national biometric identification, including here in Arizona, and we've talked a lot about that here on Declare Your Independence. And the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy. And that's, we're going to be talking about both the state level here in Arizona and the federal level, because they're acting on in both ways. We thought that cap and trade was over. It's not over. They're just going to ram it through. They're feeling emboldened. That's what you keep hearing in the news. If you really look at the news, you find that they use keywords all the time. And it's across the whole spectrum of the news. So you have to understand that these people are being fed what to say. And one of those things has to do with the necessity to have a biometric ID and the cap and trade. They're just going to ram it through. They're saying that they feel emboldened after the healthcare. And we're going to talk about that. Again, I'd love to hear from you, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443, the RBN call-in line. Come on, give me a call, people. I feel good after last week, so we'll be right back in just a minute.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. That turns into The Revolution Continues with me, Jet Lacy, every Friday from 11 to 1 Central Standard Time here on RBN. And we have so many things that we have to talk about today. Again, I'm going to keep harping on it. I want to hear from you. 800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. I want to talk first about the Bilderberg Group. We've done a lot of talking about the Bilderbergs on this show, but not in a while, because they set up their agenda once a year. They meet in secrecy, which is becoming less and less secret as the world becomes onto their little tricks. And so, you know, with the people like Alex Jones and Jim Tucker and Daniel Estulin, bringing these things out, they've finally found out where the Bilderberg is going to be this year, and it's going to be in Sitges, Spain, S-I-T-G-E-S, Spain, from June 3rd to the 6th, of course, behind a wall of armed guards who will seal off the resort in a futile attempt to keep the event secret. You know, Bilderberg's meeting will follow that of its brother group, the Trilateral Commission, which will gather at Bilderberg's at the Four Seasons Resort in Dublin, Ireland, May 6th to 10th. Leaders of the Bilderberg also attend the Trilateralists meeting to map their common agenda. About 300 attend Trilateral Commission meetings, which are conducted behind sealed off guarded floors of their hotel, and only about 100 attend Bilderberg, which seals off an entire resort of uniformed police and private security guards, as well as government agents. Excuse me. What Jim Tucker of the American Free Press is saying, that the one of the things that they're talking about, because he has some inside sources that really goes in depth and they send him information. He's actually never even met these people. And you got to understand that sometimes they do put out disinformation, but more often than not, these people like Daniel Estulin and Jim Tucker and Alex Jones have been dead on correct. And so their plan so far that's been released is that the Bilderberg hopes to keep the global recession going for at least a year, according to an international financial consultant who deals personally with many of them. This is because, among several reasons, Bilderberg still hopes to create a global treasury department under the UN. Bilderberg first undertook this mission at the meeting last spring in Greece, but the effort was blocked by nationalists in Europe and the United States. Nationalists, a dirty word in Bilderberg, objected to surrendering sovereignty to the UN. American Free Press source pointed to the words of French President Nicolas Sarkozy in a March 29th speech at the notoriously left-wing Columbia University, where he said, "We should invent a new global monetary order." He was clearly referring to the recently proposed World Treasury. Bilderberg's ultimate goal remains unchanged: turn the UN into a world government with nation-states becoming merely geographic references. The European Union is to become a single entity, followed by the American Union, and finally the Asian-Pacific Union. The American Union is to include the entire Western Hemisphere, including Cuba and other offshore islands. Like the EU, the AU will have a legislature, executive commission, and head of state which can impose laws on member nations. There is to be an EU-like common currency, removing each member state's symbol of sovereignty. The Asian-Pacific Union, or APU, will follow a similar path. Growing public awareness of the evil agenda of the Bilderberg and the Trilaterals has emerged as a significant barrier. Today in Europe, major metropolitan newspapers and broadcast outlets give both groups heavy front-page attention. In the U.S., independent newspapers and broadcast stations give Bilderberg extensive coverage. But the major newspapers and network broadcasters maintain a complete blackout in the United States because their executives have attended these meetings on lifetime promises of secrecy. And you can even read that in a quote from David Rockefeller, that he was very thankful that they have maintained their secrecy from the likes of the Washington Post and Newsweek and Time for keeping their agenda for the global one world government secret. And this is all being done by the bankers. This is the New World Order. The Bilderberg is the New World Order. The major newspapers and network broadcasters, again, I said, have attended these meetings on a lifetime promises of secrecy. The owners of the Washington Post have attended since 1954. The Post chairman, Donald Graham, and associate editor, Jimmy Lee Hoagland, have attended each meeting for years. But as public awareness grows, so does patriotic resistance. There's a strong resistance throughout Europe to the increasing powers of the EU at the cost of national sovereignty. In the United States, there is a growing resistance to the proposed North American Free Trade Agreement, which would eliminate borders between the United States, Mexico, and Canada. NAFTA is to expand under Bilderberg trilateral plans to include the entire hemisphere and involve the American Union. In the 1990s, Bilderberg was confident the American Union would be established by the year 2000. A decade later, they're still fighting and losing the battle. Because of people like Big Jim Tucker and Daniel Eshelin and Alex Jones. And now we have to carry that on to the next group of us that are aware, like people like me. I'm going to keep talking about these things to help people understand that these are the things that are they're being done to enslave us. They need to gain control over us in order to depopulate us and treat us as their property, as cattle on a farm. If you're not producing at the level at which they see fit, for one, they think their farm is too big. They got too many animals on the farm. So they want to get rid of a whole bunch of the animals, you know, cull a whole 80% of the herd because they don't need that many to be required to feed. That's the whole problem. He understands that they realize that in order to own livestock, when you own something, you become responsible for it. And they don't want to be responsible for this many of us. They don't need this many of us. And that just creates more, that's more than they can handle to control. So they just want to get rid of a large percentage of us because machines can do a lot of the things that people used to do. So if you really look at these types of things, it becomes very clear if you take the time to look into these things. Like I said, I always say is don't believe what I say. Look into it for yourself. You know, it's just nuts what is going on. And it all has to do with just every angle they can look at in order to bring control to them and away from us is exactly what is going to happen. So with that, I'm going to move on to this value-added tax business and the higher taxes. They swore up and down that they were not going to raise taxes on the middle class, which is probably true because they're just going to eliminate the middle class. And so you'll have the rich and the poor, and then they can still keep their promise that they didn't raise taxes on the middle class because they're going to make all of us middle class people low class. That makes sense? So just this week, you had two people, Paul Volcker, who is, he's one of the head advisors to Clinton. He was to Clinton. He was the Treasury Secretary. I think he's a Nobel Prize winner. He is now in the Obama administration, the Barry Sotoro administration, if you will. And he said that the United States should consider raising taxes to help bring deficits under control and may need to consider a European-style value-added tax. Volcker, answering a question from the audience at a New York Historical Society event, said the value-added tax was not as toxic an idea as it had been in the past, and also a carbon or other energy-related tax may become necessary as well. Though he acknowledged that both were still unpopular ideas, he said getting to entitlement costs and U.S. budget deficit under control may require such moves. If at the end of the day we need to raise taxes, we should raise taxes, he said. Of course, not for them, just for you. And this is the problem. There's them, and then there's us. So which one are you? Are you one of them, or are you one of us? You know, chances are, if you're listening to this radio show today, you're one of us. You're not one of them. You know what I mean? And they don't get the taxes. They don't get, because they own us in their minds. They own us and the world, lock, stock, and barrel. So you just think about that during the break. And when we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy, we'll jump right back into this in just a minute. Love to hear from you. 800-313-9443. Let your fingers do the walking. Let's go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
You know, there is such a thing as insidious influence. Does it involve some sort of psychological domination?
No world order that elevates one nation or group of people over another will succeed.
It's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order.
So it's going to be an inner ruling elite and then everyone else. And I got news for you. You're everyone else.
The whole concept of new world order, it really says that the state is God.
The New World Order really is a tool for addressing a new world of possibilities.
The people running this country are determined to destroy it.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy. That was a little introduction to the Alex Jones film that's coming out in just a couple of days, and I urge you to look up that The Invisible Empire. It's I think it's going to be a good one. Like the last film, we gave out over 30,000 copies of The Obama Deception, because you say what you want about Alex Jones. I believe that he's a little bit over the top sometimes myself, but I tell you what, his information is usually right on time. And I only look up to Alex Jones in that way. We're very different types of individuals. However, I look up to the fact that he gives real, hard-hitting information. And in that way, I really look up to Alex Jones, because I want to give you the same level. It's what I expect for myself, is to give you the same level of information is that I feel that I receive from Alex Jones. And I do take a lot of cues from him, although, again, we're very, very different types of individuals. I don't ever talk about the children, and, you know, I don't do anything for the children. That's one of my little pet peeves that I don't like. I don't talk about religion, because all these things are mere distractions. When we really talk about, these are secular issues. It doesn't matter what they believe or what you believe or what anybody believes. These are issues that are of the earth. These have nothing to do with God. They have everything to do with man living his life on earth. So that's why I don't talk about these kinds of things. And I know that tugs on certain heartstrings and certain people, you know, with the religious aspect and with the aspect of talking about doing things for the children. I don't go there. I don't like that. I don't believe in it. I'm talking about you and me being humans on this earth, having a conversation, and I think the facts speak for themselves. I don't feel that I need to tug on your heartstrings in order to get you to understand or come over to my way of thinking. I don't really care if you believe the way I believe. I do, as a human being caring about another human being. I can give you this information, and that's it. You can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. You have to take this information for what it is. You have to take this information I'm giving you and do with it what you want to do with it. But I'll tell you what, at the end of the day, if you've listened to this show for any length of time, you're going to be able to make an informed decision for yourself regarding just about everything that's going on in this world. That's what I want to bring to you. I want to bring to you honest, direct journalism that you're not going to find on CNN and the people, like I said, that are bought out. And that's the beautiful thing about the internet. You know, we can do this. This is an internet-based show, but it has a wide audience. And because of that, we have this great thing going on. And that's why they're trying to take it away from us. It's where they're doing all these bills with the net neutrality, and they always put this fancy wrapper on it. What it really ends up being is allowing the government to assume control. You have to change the way you think about government and what they're trying to achieve. You have to take everything that you've been taught as a child about government and about the world, and you have to chuck it out the window. You have to understand that this is a new world. And you also have to understand that we have sat by idly and let it happen. I have been. I've only been doing this a little over a year. So for the first 40, you know, years of my life and change, I didn't do a whole lot. I was just trying to live my life, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when you're awakened to the truth, if you do nothing, you support it. And so I don't care what you do. I'm doing what I do. I'm trying to give you this information for you to take and do with it as you see fit. But I'm telling you, they're coming. And you're seeing more and more and more people in the media saying that this is tyranny. This is way worse than what our founding fathers revolted over and created a brand new nation. This is way worse, infinitesimally worse. Exponentially, I mean, not infinitesimally. I misspoke there. So anyway, it's exponentially worse. They were 3,000 miles away across the ocean without airplanes and, you know, internet and fast connections. I mean, they had to send letters by a boat. Nothing happened for 6 months at a time. So these are the types of things that we have, a scientific dictatorship that's being brought in, and we are going to be picked apart. We're trying to divide and conquer, and then they're going to cull the herd. When we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues with me, Jet Like an Airplane, Lacey, we're going to jump back into this again. Love to hear from you. 800-313-9443. We'll be right back in just a minute. Y'all hold on to your seats.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Desperate, hungry cannibals, barbecue executives.
That's right. The way things are going, the pets are going to eat their masters here on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacey. Again, I'd love to hear from you. Keep saying it over and over. 800-313-9443. But we're going to keep pressing on. I want to talk a little bit about, we were talking about the VAT, the value-added tax. And according to Wikipedia, you know, a VAT, a value-added tax, says that most states have a retail sales tax charged to the end buyer only. Unlike in the VAT, sales to other businesses are untaxed. State sales taxes range from 0 to 13%, and municipalities often add an additional tax in the form of local sales tax. In many stores, the price tags and or advertised prices do not include the taxes, and the taxes are added at the cash register before the customer pays. In some states, no sales tax is charged for this services. In many states, a use tax is imposed on items ordered online or bought in a lower or no sales tax state and brought into the taxpayer's home state. This is the key difference between most sales taxes levied throughout the United States and the value-added tax system in many other countries. In the U.S., the state of Michigan used a form of VAT known as the single business tax. And House Speaker Pelosi stated in 2009 that a new national VAT was on the table. And that was, I have an article in front of me here from The Hill. which is written by this article is written by Michael O'Brien on 10/06/09. And it says, Pelosi says new tax is, quote, on the table. A new value-added tax is on the table to help U.S. address its fiscal liabilities, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said Monday night. Pelosi, appearing on the Charlie Rose Show, asserted that it's, quote, fair to look at the VAT as part of an overhaul of the nation's tax code. I would say put everything on the table and subject it to the scrutiny that it deserves. The VAT is a tax put on manufacturers at each stage of production on the amount of value an additional producer adds to a product. Pelosi argued that the VAT would level the playing field between U.S. and foreign manufacturers, the latter of which do not have pension and health care costs included in the price of their goods because their governments provide those services financed by similar taxes. She said, they get a tax off of that, and they use that money to pay for the health care of their own workers, Pelosi said. Using the example of auto manufacturers. So their cars are coming into our country and they don't have a healthcare component cost. Goes on to say somewhere along the way, a value-added tax plays into this. Of course, we want to take down the healthcare costs. That's one part of it. But in the scheme of things, I think it's fair to look at a value-added tax as well. So, you know, you got to look at this for what it is. It's just more taxes. They're saying they're not going to tax everybody. That's a tax on the poorest people. That's like everything you buy is going to have increased taxes on it. And it came out, and this is another indicator of how screwed up our country is, that almost 50% of people owe no federal taxes when they do their federal income tax. So that means the higher 50% are paying all the federal taxes for the lower 50%. So there's an imbalance there. However, these other taxes are way more insidious because it'll raise the price of every single thing that you buy. The same as a greenhouse taxes or a carbon tax that we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. I want to talk a little bit about what Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke said just a few days ago, I guess a week ago Wednesday, just Wednesday. So it's just on the 7th of April. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke warned Wednesday that Americans may have to accept higher taxes or changes in cherished entitlements such as Medicare and Social Security if the nation is to avoid staggering budget deficits that threaten to choke off economic growth. He said, these choices are difficult, and it always seems easier to put them off until the day they cannot be put off anymore. But unless we as a nation demonstrate that a strong commitment to fiscal responsibility, in the longer run, we will have neither financial stability nor healthy economic growth. The economic downturn, with a tumbling tax revenue, aggressive stimulus spending, and rising safety net payments such as unemployment insurance, have driven already large budget deficits to their highest level relative to the economy since the end of World War II. This has fueled public concern over how long the United States can sustain its fiscal policies. Bernanke used his bully pulpit to tread into an area of economic policy that is usually the province of the president and Congress. He characterized the budget gap as the biggest long-term economic challenge the nation faces, even as he acknowledged that reducing the deficit immediately would be neither practical nor advisable given the still weak economy. He said, to avoid large and untimely unsustainable budget deficits, the nation will ultimately have to choose among higher taxes, modifications to entitlement programs such as Social Security and Medicare, less spending on everything else from education to defense, or some combination of the above. The Obama administration is in the early stages of crafting a strategy to reduce U.S. deficits, which are projected to hover around $1 trillion a year for much of the next decade. The presidentially appointed commission, known as the Commission on Fiscal Responsibility and Reform, has been assigned the task of helping develop that strategy. By the way, this is the same commission that during Obama, or Barry Satoro, I should say, during his State of the Union speech, it was just voted down by the Senate that they didn't want it to occur. So he said, well, I'm just going to write an executive order and I'm going to do it anyway. And that's exactly what he did. That just goes to show you that they don't care about the law. They don't care about the Constitution. Look at that Phil Hare, the representative from Illinois, saying he doesn't care about the Constitution. You keep hearing this over and over and over. They just don't care. And obviously, most of the American people don't care either because they're not doing anything about it. Obama said he expects the commission to look at all options for reining in deficits, including cuts to entitlement programs, reductions in other spending, and tax increases. Bernanke has urged Congress to address long-term fiscal imbalances in the congressional testimony before, but usually only when he is asked about them by lawmakers. His speech Wednesday aimed to reach a broader audience, steering away from technical economic speak and using plain, sometimes wry language, a rare thing for a Fed chairman. He said, "The economist John Maynard Keynes said that in the long run, we are all dead. If he were here today, he might say that in the long run, we are all on Social Security and Medicare." What does that tell you? That means we're all socialized. It means we all don't have a choice but to be on the same plantation. We are all N-words now. There is no racial disparity in this country, with the exception of the poor Mexican people that are being screwed, and we're going to talk about that later, about this immigration bill. And I know a lot of people feel very strongly about that. And again, I welcome your calls, 800-313-9443. We're going to talk about it. We're going to, you know, I have a different take than a lot of people. But these immigrants are not the problem. I'm trying to tell you this. You have this thing set in your mind about illegal aliens, and they're really no different than most of our people that can, you know, our family members that emigrated here as well. Hey, I got a caller, Dave in New Mexico. Welcome, Dave.
Hello there, Jet. How you doing today?
Good. How are you? Welcome to the program.
Well, I'm still surviving despite the government's best efforts. And, you know, this business about the illegal aliens, I'm not racist. I don't mind other people being from other places and cultures. But our economy is so poor, we have millions and millions of Americans who are either out of work altogether or severely underemployed. And we need to take care of our own house first, I think. And on the other issue, you talked about the taxation, about how the upper 50% are paying all the bills for the lower 50%. Well, you know, there's an old saying that he who does the saying does the paying. And basically, those people on the top are the ones who make all these laws, who draw up all these taxation policies, and the lower classes don't even want a lot of the stuff they force us to pay for. And I am one of those people. They talk about entitlements like it's welfare, but people paid in
right
to Social Security and Medicare for many years.
15% for Social Security alone.
Yes, and then they took it basically at gunpoint, and now they tell us, well, sorry, tough luck. You old people are an expense on the system. We're going to have to restrict this. I mean, we're just getting ripped off, and we need to remind them that they who do if they're, you know, we don't have a representative government any more than the chickens at KFC have a representation with Colonel Sanders, you know?
Absolutely.
And we're in big trouble, and, you know, those people that complain that, you know, those poor people need to pay because we're getting the services, well, maybe they should let us decide what services we want to pay for. We told them very adamantly we do not want the health care program that Obama crammed down our face with Pelosi and Reid, and yet they're going to force us to pay for them, even though we said we do not want this service. And they've done that over and over and over again for well over 100 years.
But Dave, do you feel that this is about eugenics? Do you feel that this is about killing off? I mean, look at that right there. You're saying...
Oh, I think it does. Yeah, they want to, they want to increase the rate of mortality. They want to select who they find worthy and profitable for their system and discard the rest.
Absolutely. And I'm going to play a... Do you have anything else you wanted to add? Because I'm going to play a clip of Catherine Austin Fitz the other day.
Well, all I can say is if it weren't for hope in Jesus, there'd be no hope at all. And keep your powder dry, folks.
I hear you. Thank you so much, Dave. I look forward to your call every week. I enjoy the hell out of talking to you, brother.
Well, you hang in there and keep up the good work.
You too. Thank you, Dave. I want to play this clip before we go to break. Hopefully we have time here. Catherine Austin Fitz was on the Alex Jones Show the other day, and she understands. Well, I'm just going to play it, and then we'll talk about it, okay?
Slavery and police state, you know, those are reasonable words. That is where they're going. And, you know, I say this as a former regulator, a former assistant secretary of housing, a former board member of a Wall Street firm, a former board member of Sallie Mae, the student loan finance organization. And let me tell you how I came to that conclusion. And my part of my background is doing portfolio strategy for big, you know, I was the FHA commissioner, so doing portfolio strategy for $300 billion of liabilities. And then my company in Washington, the Hamilton Securities Group, built databases of all, you know, sort of community assets and real estate, which is looking at the entire GNP. And then when we compared it to certain things in the securities and global markets, you're talking about the GNP of the planet. So I'm used to dealing in very large numbers and actuarial analysis. So, you know, and actuarial analysis says, well, if you stop feeding people GMO food, they're going to live longer. That means insurance companies are going to have to pay out this much more, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you're used to dealing in very big numbers and the butterfly effect of changes in policy with changes in lifespan. So I give that as a background. And I wrote this in the article I wrote. I wrote an essay about why I was opposed to the swine flu vaccination. And I literally, when I saw the policies that were being implemented in connection with the rollout of the WTO and the control of agribusiness worldwide, the rounding up of innocent people in American communities and stuffed into prison and the private prison property. You know, I went through all the different trends from 96 to 98, and I came to the conclusion sort of back of the envelope that the only thing I could conclude is that the leadership as a policy was planning on very significant depopulation worldwide. That was the only way I could explain, you know, the 20 policies I was seeing being implemented both here and globally with the WTO, particularly the control of the food supply and system with sort of what Monsanto is doing in genetically modified food. And I was very quiet about it at the time, you know, because I knew other people couldn't fathom what I was saying. And I remember in 1998 or 99, very, very savvy portfolio strategist from the financial community called me up and said, can you have lunch with me? I'm going to be in Washington. And we went to lunch at Union Station, and he looked at me and he said, you know, he said, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I've done the analysis, and if you look at the changes in policies that are being rolled out over the last 4 years, the only thing I can conclude is they're planning on significant depopulation. And I said, well, that's what my analysis shows. And we just kind of stared at each other. And if you look across the board at what is being done in terms of building databases on American citizens, what is being done with RFID or
it turns out for 50 years they've been planning this and building a world government as a means to an end, and all of the tracking, all of the surveillance, all the police state, all the mind control, the conditioning is to be rolled out in phases, and we're now coming into the end game.
You're coming into
to
the
literally
end game.
Kill.
Yeah, we're coming into the end game, and that's the way it is. You know, we have to understand that this is what is going on. This is about eugenics. You don't have too many people in the world that are out there talking about eugenics. This, everything that we got going on, what the Bilderberg is trying to do, the war, Bernanke, Volcker calling for a VAT and a carbon tax, Pelosi calling for a VAT, the national biometric ID, everything that I'm talking about today, cap and trade is being forced down our throat, the health care, the engineered financial crisis, the Codex Alimentarius, everything is being done in order to decrease the population. That means you. They want you gone. They want you gone most of all because we're the Americans. We're the last ones with any guns. So when we come back, I'll declare your independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy. We'll talk about it.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy. Just crazy times in these world, in the world we're living in today. It's just nuts. I mean, I guess it's good to live in interesting times, but I think I'd like it a little less interesting. I'd like to go to the caller, David in California. Are you there, Dave?
Hello, yes. Good show today.
Thank you very much. How you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, I've got a comment on the last caller's statement about you know, the influx of the immigration, or the, specifically the illegal immigration. Peter Schiff had a beautiful blog on his YouTube site, the Peter Schiff Report. It's just called the Schiff Report. A couple of reports ago, a couple of blogs ago, he mentioned that he had read, I believe it was in Bloomberg. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But he said he had read a couple of articles. One of them was Chinese immigrants are now leaving America to go back to China because there's more opportunity there. And as well, he mentioned that Mexican and Central American immigrants in the same article mentioned that they are leaving California in large numbers because there's more opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's they're just trying to level out the playing field to make us all slaves, and it's working.
You know, the IMF collapsed Mexico back in the late 80s, early 90s. They collapsed the peso, and everybody came up here because their currency had been ruined, and the oligarchy down there, they know what they're doing, you know? So
they're right in bed with the United States government, right?
Yep.
I mean, if you look at the drug war, it's all about both of our militaries getting together to try to quash any of the other people just trying to make an, I guess you would call it an honest buck, you know, they have a product and they're trying to sell it. And the militaries want to control all the supply and as well as the transport.
Well, there's more money in the military than there could ever be in growing drugs. So, you know, and it's one business in favor of another business. So it's, you know, it's more of the same oligarchy control. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting though that, you know, Peter Schiff's YouTube channel, you know, he's running for Senate and for Chris Dodd's old seat
in Connecticut.
He's running in the Republican primary. He's a libertarian, true and you know, to the core, but he's running as a Republican against the McMahon woman, the wife of the dude who does the wrestling show.
Oh, really? I didn't know who he's running against.
And somebody else is running. He's a former congressman from Connecticut, rather. But Peter Schiff has got the Ron Paul sort of groundswell of support. You know, if you know Peter Schiff or not, he was Paul's economic advisor.
Absolutely. Just like Lou Rockwell was.
Pardon?
Just like Lou Rockwell was his first go around in the House.
Certainly. All right. You know, Peter Schiff's YouTube page, The Schiff Report, you're probably familiar with it. It's if you subscribe to anything on YouTube, definitely subscribe to Peter Schiff's blog, because not only is it informative, but he's hilarious. He is so funny. His latest one was about Alan Greenspan lying on his latest ABC interview, and he's saying, please, Alan, please debate me. Go on CNBC, CNN, whatever. Let's debate you. I want to talk to you about this insanity that you brought upon us and your revisionist history. But, yeah, Peter Schiff is just, I mean, if I lived in Connecticut, I would vote as many times as possible for him.
Indeed.
But unfortunately, I can't vote for the guy.
Well, you know, I do subscribe, and I feel the exact same way as you do, as you know, about Peter Schiff. And I thank you so much for the call, David. You made some excellent points. Have a great weekend.
You too.
And when we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy. After a 1 minute break, we're going to jump right back into this. So again, love to hear. We've had some great callers today. Love to hear from you. 800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. We'll see you in just a minute.